Yes, 12 noon. Normally when I'm tuning in to listen to Sportsnet Fan 590 and the Jeff Merrick Show, and usually Elliot Friedman off the top, and always enjoy that part. 2 minutes of hockey talk. They are winging their way to the NHL Board of Governors meetings. It's Gord Stellick. I'll be in the next 3 days talking what I love talking most, NHL hockey, Toronto Maple Leaf hockey, 31 other teams around the NHL, 10 games last night in the NHL. There'll be four tonight, and of course, the Toronto Maple Leafs 5-4 win against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Kind of an unusual 5-4 win. It was a 5-2 win, really, and then two late goals made it not really great for either side. Columbus only had half a second, the faceoff at center ice, to try to tie it. No chance there. Leafs didn't really celebrate big time like a win because they weren't happy the way it ended, but it still is a win. And I know on the betting side, if you had the over-under, whatever it was, it didn't go so well for you either. So Joe Bowen will join us in a few minutes' time to talk about that. Meanwhile, Matt Marchese, the man that puts it all together, and the guy I like, the guy that kind of tries to keep Jeff Merrick in line. Is that right, Matt? Is that how you describe your job?
I would say that's pretty accurate, Gord. But keeping Jeff in line is kind of hard because, you know, he's got such a big brain that his mind can go to places that I never thought this show could go. So, he's really hard to wrangle in. Like herding cats, Gord.
So, you know, he always comes into the room and he's got earbuds on and he's talking to someone. Do you think he really is, or is he pretending?
I think he's pretending, but the only reason why I say it is every time I'm on the phone with him, he goes, "Oh, Maddie, I got to take another call." So I think he's just avoiding me, and I don't think he's actually taking any more calls. I think he's just finally had enough of me. He probably talks to myself and Elliot more than he talks to his wife. So yeah, I think he's just kind of, he has the earbuds in there just to keep people away from him. His mind works in weird ways.
Well, I got to think the 32 Thoughts, and of course, I enjoy Jeff and Elliot off the top, the 32 Thoughts podcast, and then, of course, the second intermission on Hockey Night in Canada. So I think that's the only time they pay attention to each other, even, because Jeff will be talking aloud, and Elliot will be mesmerized by his iPhone, right? Texting to who knows where.
Yeah, Elliot is... when Elliot does the hit here, he's either texting or he's eating lunch. And even at one point, he dropped something and it sounded like an aluminum bat had hit, like when you're at the batting cages. And technical operator Lance Kennedy buzzed in my ear and said, "Wow, thanks to Elliot for doing the show from the batting cages today." So, yeah, no, their dynamic is quite interesting. And we have some good laughs on the show, that's for sure. Elliot always taking a shot at me, or almost always taking a shot at me before he comes on. So
okay, so to be clear, it's a week the Toronto Maple Leafs that are at home. They've had a lot of road games. They'll go back on the road afterwards. So we're going to get a little bit residue about the Winnipeg game with Tim Campbell. We're going to get Joe Bowen in a few minutes' time, the voice of the Leafs. We're going to get a little Tampa Bay Lightning talk as well. And you also landed one of our favorite guys, Kelly Rudy, as well, Matt.
Yeah, today should be a very entertaining show. We always try to make it entertaining, but I mean, anytime you can get Bonesy on after a Leaf win is always good. And like you mentioned to me, just to talk to Joe about the differences between this team this season and the team from years past, because I don't know, and I'm assuming you're going to say the same thing as I do, but this looks different to me. Like, I feel like yesterday's game, you know, they scored the two quick goals in the second period and you think it's over. And then, you know, Columbus scores the three goals in the third. But I don't know. I didn't feel like that game was ever not in their hands. And in previous years, you know, after they score earlier in the third, I'd be going, "Oh, boy, better watch out here because the Leafs are back," type thing. And I just don't have that same sense this year.
So quick one before I'll give a quick rundown of the 10 scores, then we'll get Joe on. But during the game, and I saw Jason Spezza, I saw a couple of younger guys coming up kind of looking where to go in the press box area. The Leafs have a box for extra players, and Jason Spezza, about the most personal guy you'll ever meet, kind of herding them in there. And then right after, got the news about the 6-game suspension, which has caught a lot of people by surprise. The Maple Leafs are going to, he's going to appeal it. It could take about 6 games to appeal. If you remember the Dennis Weidman situation in Calgary, the suspension is almost done by the time you appeal. But what did you think, Matt, before you heard that?
I actually had this conversation with Jeff, and I thought five was too many, especially for a guy that doesn't have a history. Gabriel Landeskog got two games for running Kirby Dach into the boards when he was on his knees. I understand there's an injury at play here, but I thought six was too many, Gord. I thought five was too many, and Jeff told me to take my Leafs hat off. So, yeah, no, I thought six was way too many games for that hit. It wasn't a good hockey play, but you want to give him two games? Okay, I can see that. Six, a little too much for me.
Well, we'll get Joe because he will never take his Leaf hat off, but he'll also have some modicum of objectivity. Joe Bowen, the voice of the Toronto Maple Leafs. But it was one of 10 games last night in the NHL. Tampa Bay beat Montreal 3-2. You had the New York Islanders finally winning over Ottawa 5-3. Nashville 5, Detroit 2. Anaheim 2-0 over Buffalo. Yeah, we got to talk a lot about the Trevor Zegras and Sonny Milano. Wow, the highlight reel goal of the season. So far, anyway, St. Louis a 4-3 win in overtime. That was the only game that went into OT of them all 10. St. Louis over Florida. Carolina beats Winnipeg 4-2. New York Rangers a 6-2 win over Chicago. Minnesota 4, Edmonton 1, and the San Jose Sharks a 5-3 win over the Calgary Flames. So all kinds of NHL action, but of course we hone in on the one that you heard last night on the Fan 590. Play-by-play voice, Joe Bowen joining Gord Stellick on the Jeff Merrick Show. How are you, Joe?
I'm good, Gordo. How are you today?
Well. And, you know, chatting with Matt Marchese, you know, a number of things. We see each other a lot, you and myself, Jim Ralph and Brent Gunning and everybody there at Scotiabank Arena last night. So it was a fun night. And put in context, we started together in 1982, and there were some dark, dark years back then. You've been through the Pat Burns era, the Pat Quinn era that were pretty successful by and large. And then a kind of a lot of vanilla for a number of years. Last year, a great regular season. And where are you on this team circa 2021 heading into 2022, Joe?
You know, Gordo, and we were talking about this, and I've said this to many people, that mental toughness is something that you have to have jammed down your throat. And great teams go through this. Bitter disappointments when they are obviously the favorite. And I think about the miracle on Manchester Street before the Oilers got going, Lanny McDonald's goal before the New York Islanders got going, the loss in four straight by the Tampa Bay Lightning just recently before they got going, Washington having problems before they won a cup, the Boston Bruins blowing a 3-0 lead to Philadelphia before they won their cup. So I hope that the disappointment that was felt by all of Leaf fans last year against Montreal has taught this team something. And hopefully that mental toughness will be there. And I've been impressed with the way they've played this year. Looking at it from that kind of a context, I think that they're very driven and very motivated. I also like the fact that finally I think everybody realizes that you have to have some physicality and some toughness and pushback in order to make your better players feel comfortable. And I think that the addition of Simmons and Clifford and Richie and others has been a big factor in that. And even the situation the other night with Winnipeg, And God bless Jason Spezza for trying to take matters into his own hands, I suppose. But having said that, it's not going to be tolerated. And I know that Jason is hoping to have his suspension maybe looked at here again, and I agree with him. But having said that, it will be interesting to see. But I like what has happened with this team over the last 6 months or so.
So, yeah, I was going to go a different way, but I want to touch on Spezza now because I certainly concur. I mean, you look at, hey, Winnipeg won the game fair and square. Great ceremony for Blake Wheeler before the game. Too many odd man rushes in the second period. But then the knee-on-knee happens. All of a sudden, first of all, the injury to Sandin's the most important part. But the Leafs with a five-minute major power play have a chance to get back in the game. It's not called. And then the Spezza thing, none of the four officials on the ice call a major. And, you know, nowadays, I hope, and I realize it was a pretty junior linesman crew, but, you know, you saw it in the Edmonton-LA game, Joe. what happened in that playoff series between Vegas and San Jose a couple of years ago, they put in, I think, a real great mechanism. Call the major, and then you can review it so you're not screwed if you're wrong. And instead, you got not two pairs of eyes. You had four pairs of eyes that apparently saw neither transgression on top of whatever the sumo wrestling Pierre-Luc Dubois was doing with Austin Matthews. And I'm not a guy that likes to complain about the officiating, but this one's a no-brainer.
Absolutely. I mean, and they brought it upon themselves. And that's the unfortunate part about it, Gordon. And I agree with you. Why not call the major and then take a look at it? And you have that kind of safety net, I guess, if you will. And the other thing, you know, this goes back to last year as well. Pionk on an empty net attempt by Mitch Marner went low and tried to go after his legs too. And I think that the situation with Pionk, never mind the Sandin thing, I think that this is also something that has boiled over from a year ago, and that's why Jason Spezza was so outraged by it as well. And here's the other aspect. Who was watching this? Why wasn't there a concussion protocol for Pionk? And he ends up playing in the game the rest of the game before anything is ever thought about. Now he is in the concussion protocol. So the whole thing could have been solved, I think, by what you're suggesting. Take another look at it and let's get it right the first time, because it certainly wasn't done right that time at all.
So, okay, last night towards the end of the second period, you're chastising Jim Ralph for not keeping track quickly the goals because the Leafs got two in whatever it was, 8 seconds. And then Brent Gunning, as we're getting set to come on the second intermission, gets the news about the 6-game suspension. And, Joe, you know, we were there when I, you know, so I look at context and I'm saying, when Ty Domi got suspended 8 games, it was like he got taken down to the States like Hannibal Lecter, you know, in a federal solitary confinement hearing. I thought Jason Spezza was going to traffic court. It's like someone going to traffic court, I thought, and coming out with 6 years in prison. You know what I mean? It just, so when we heard that, and Spezza's like about, you know, 20 yards away from us, and you're kind of going, really? I mean, I don't know how much we're being biased or not, but I still cannot wrap my head about this, the severity of this suspension.
Especially, you know what, I saw Jason after the game a little bit, and he was obviously very disappointed, and I know that they're going to appeal this. And, you know, I don't think, you know, after 1,200 games and the quality of this individual and never, ever having any kind of a situation or a track record of this, I really think that it's really severe. And I wouldn't be surprised to see this knocked down to, let's say, 4 games anyway. But having said that, he has become the soul and the face of this franchise. Even with Matthews and everybody else, here's a guy that just wants to play for his hometown team, has taken the major league hometown discount. Now he's got to pay $22,000 or whatever in fines. Maybe we'll get a Go Help Me page going for him. I'm sure the fans would love to help him out. But, I mean, I just don't understand it, that I don't think that the rest of it was taken into context about this one incident. So I hope that there is some second thoughts going on in New York about all of this, and maybe it will at least be reduced to some extent. But I think 6 games is really severe.
Joe Bowen, Maple Leaf Radio play-by-play voice, joining Gord Stellick on the Jeff Merrick Show on the Fan 590. And, you know, to get back to the weekend, obviously, the record's been phenomenal. I loved the weekend. They got 1 out of 4 points. I loved both those games, to talk about what you opened up with about the style they're playing. And Jason Spezza, basically, what he did, like he did Game 5 against Columbus in the playoffs, saying, you know what, I'm going to show I give a bleep, and he gets in a fight. You had Wayne Simmonds, you had Kyle Clifford, you had Nick Ritchie, you had a reaction. You know, and you're going to need that from time to time. And the Matt Martin era here, there never was that niche that he could find with Toronto that he found with the New York Islanders. And I liked watching it, and I think, you know, even guys like Austin Matthews aren't used to gong shows, and I'm not saying that derisively. I'm just saying that, you know, You need that. And they had it on Sunday, and I think that's a big growing part for this team.
Everybody you ever talk to that's involved with the National Hockey League, Gordon, you know this better than me. And the slogan of the patriarch of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Conn Smythe, still rings clear today. If you can't beat them in the alley, you can't beat them on the ice. And it's all nicey-nicey during the regular season for the most part. But when it comes down to playing in a best of seven and into the postseason and into the playoffs, then it becomes a lot more physical and you need to have the pushback. And you don't have, it's like having the atomic bomb. You don't have to explode it, but you have to let everybody know that you got it. Otherwise, your star players are going to get roughhoused and pushed around and feel uncomfortable and not play the way that they can. But when they know that they have people like the three that you mentioned and others, they know that they have their back. And so they're going to play with a lot more confidence and a lot more freedom, knowing that, you know, the old adage. I think about the story about Eddie Shack running around after Henri Richard in a playoff series, and John Ferguson skated over to Dave Keon and simply said to him, "Get him to stop or I'm coming after you." Guess what? It stopped. The atomic bomb was over at the other bench too. So you have to have that. Otherwise, it doesn't stop.
Well, and the great one with Wendell Clark in 94. What was it about Gino Ojek running Doug Gilmore? And Wendell went to Trevor Linden and said, if he doesn't stop, I got to run Pavel Bure. Okay, do you understand that? Just understand that. And what happened the next shift, Joe, right? Gino Ojek, yeah. What'd he do? Yeah?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's the situation, you know, Gordo, and it's and for everybody, the purists and everything, we got to get this out of the game. We have to do this and do that. For the most part, a lot of it is gone. It's not nearly what it was back in the 80s. Not nearly, but it's still there. And that's something I think that you have to take into account. And as a management group and as a coaching staff, you have to understand that. And you know, the players understand it. But it's still something that has to be addressed every once in a while. And Jason Spezza addressed it. And you know, that was a cheap shot thing and a knee, and all of a sudden there's no call. Well, if there's no call, then someone better take this into our own hands, and that's what happened.
So another thing that struck me last night, Joe, to the conversation, trying to assess and evaluate the team this year. So they do always do, like everyone does, honor a man or woman from the Canadian military. Really, really well done. And one member of the Leaf alumni makes a presentation of a special jersey. Okay, yep. Lanny McDonald. Lanny McDonald is the consummate Calgary Flame who won a Stanley Cup there. We know that. But because he connected with Maple Leaf fans during their time, they loved Lanny McDonald. They don't forget that. The ovation brought the house down. They loved Gary Roberts. They loved Darcy Tucker. They loved Nathan Dempsey, even when management didn't want him on the team. I mean, they figure out, right, certain kind of players they embrace. And what I'm finding is, I'm really starting to dig some of these new guys. And in the past, I would never say it about certain guys were kind of hard to like as players, but I'm really getting that. And I think a lot of the fans, whether it's the Cashes of the world and the Buntings of the world, you know, just the new guys that before, I mean, because it's been a revolving door. You know, we haven't had the Berg, Zezel, Osborne equivalent of a third line for a lot of years. And that's something that I'm really enjoying taking in the last little while, Joe.
It is amazing how, and you know, everybody at the beginning of the year was Bunting and Richie. Where do we fit them in the first two lines? And obviously Bunting has found a niche, but now since Nick Richie has been put on with Kasha and Kemp, it really has developed into a outstanding line. And I was thrilled for the young man from Orangeville to get his goal last night to get off that schneid, but he's been playing really well. And that line has been very productive over the last, five, six, seven games since he's been put there. So sometimes it depends on where you end up falling. But it is kind of funny with Marner being out that it's the Scarborough Express working with Matthews, and they seem to be doing a pretty decent job, too, of banging and bashing. Simmons provides some space. Bunting is a diligent and effervescent forechecker. And then we saw last night that he must be paying attention to Mitch Marner a lot, because that pass between the legs to get the opening goal to Matthews was just a thing of beauty. So he's starting to feel a lot more comfortable, obviously. And you know what? Everybody loved Zach Hyman, but here's Michael Bunting with the same amount of points and playing extraordinarily well in a tough situation. It's not easy to kind of go up with the big boys who are that creative and that talented and then fit in. And he certainly has done that.
Yeah, you know what's really surprised me? It's this local story, too, which we always love, coming back in Bunting. But, you know, you made this assumption. He came from Arizona. He didn't have big stats. And, you know, like Freddie Gauthier, I know Freddie was drafted. We got a continual diet of those kind of guys. And I thought he was that. Then you look back, man, this guy hadn't played a lot of games, Bunting, but he had done it in the NHL before he even came to Toronto. I was really surprised by that.
Yeah, I mean, and it is kind of surprising that he is here and the whole situation with him. But boy, he's fit in very, very nicely. You know what? This team, and I know that Connor McDavid has cried foul to the league, and all of a sudden there seems to be some adjustment to him being hooked or held or whatever for penalties. But Michael Bunting draws penalties. I mean, he's a yappy kind of a guy. He gets under people's skins. He goes to the traffic areas. Sometimes his balance isn't as good as it could be, and ergo, they're on the power play. So these are some things that are intangibles, and he certainly has that. And I think he's been a really nice addition to this team, and certainly off the ice, it's exactly the same type of situation. So here's another guy, Simmons, Spezza, Bunting, coming back home and really finding their niche playing here at home and playing for the Maple Leafs.
And, Joe, I know the Tampa Bay Lightning in on Thursday, and I like Sheldon Keefe's nuggets from time to time. I think at first when given the disappointing start, and then they started turning around a bit, but then remember after the Carolina game, he kind of said, yeah, we're not ready to play against a team like this. Like basically saying we were in the coddled Canadian division and we're not prepared to swim in the deep end of the NHL pool either. And as a fan and broadcaster, I'm kind of go, wait a sec, isn't this a team that has, you know, cup aspirations and playoff aspirations? But if he was looking to challenge the players, he was quite successful, because then, you know, you had home matches against Tampa Bay and Boston and some of the big boys in the league. And it seemed like the Leaf team found a way to get motivated from within.
Well, yeah, everybody, that was interesting. Everybody calling out the Northern Division, the Canadian division, as being overly weak or whatever. But, you know, Edmonton's a pretty good hockey team. And a lot of other teams in there. I mean, Winnipeg is a solid hockey team. Calgary has been a major surprise. Yeah, there's been disappointments, but Montreal went to the Stanley Cup final last year, so you can't really, you know, coddle that. They've had just a disastrous thing happen to them this year with injuries and everything else that's gone on. But having said that, you're right. But it was an opportunity for him to get the team focused on this. And they had a strong game against the Tampa Bay Lightning, even, you know, a real tight 2-1 game. But they started playing that kind of hockey, and they were playing playoff-type hockey through that stretch. The situation with Campbell coming on and demonstrating that he's the guy, and certainly his numbers have been absolutely outstanding. And that was something that they had to turn the corner on. They had to, you know, they hadn't seen these guys. I mean, this was the first time they'd seen Columbus since the debacle two seasons ago. So having said that, that was, you know, something I think last night had a little extra to it as well.
So, Joe, just last question. Has either Brendan Shanahan, Kyle Dubas, Sheldon Keefe, or the wonderful goaltending instructor Steve Briere told you at any time to stay away from Jack Campbell and do not give any tips from your Unionville Men's Hockey League goaltending prowess that you believe you have?
Now, Gordo, one of my defensemen is Mike Moffitt, who played goal for the Boston
right.
Bruins.
He's
turned into a wonderful defenseman. So if I have any tips, I will send Mr. Moffitt down to handle that situation.
Boy, remember his run as certainly you do, but I think a lot of people out there would be surprised. The memory of him as a teenager under pressure. Remember that with the Boston Bruins?
Yeah.
He had
a great run. Yeah. Absolutely. He's a wonderful guy.
Yeah, but it's kind of sad if it turns out you play defense for Joe Bowen. That's not going to inspire a lot of people.
I don't think he's going to put that up at the top of his career highlights. Thanks very much.
Well, one of my highlights has always been working with you and having you as a lifelong friend. And we'll see. It's been a lot of fun doing the games. And it didn't look like that way at the start of the year. But, of course, you've always make the fun, the games enjoyable, regardless how they go. Joe, see you soon. You're back at it Thursday night. Thanks very much catching up this morning. Enjoyed the chat.
You bet. Okay, Gardo. And Merry Christmas to you, buddy.
Yeah, likewise, Joe Bowen. There he is, along with Jim Ralph, the of course, the longtime voice of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And one thing about Joe, I have to give credit, and I don't know how many people out there watch or listen to, say, the 32 TV crews, the 32 radio crews. He is a homer guy, or home team guy. That's a better term, home team guy. He does not give short shrift to any goals. The opposing team scores a nice goal, Joe gives it full value. That's something you do notice if you hear some other situations around the National Hockey League. So always appreciate what Joe Bowen brings. We are going to chat with Kelly Rudy in a few minutes' time, of course, part of the Hockey Night in Canada staples. We're trying to make up for Elliot Friedman, try to get some of the Hockey Night in Canada people over the next 3 days when I'll be filling in for Jeff Merrick. And later on, Tim Campbell. And he's with NHL.com now, wrote for the Winnipeg papers for a number of years. That's a real nice hockey team out in Winnipeg. I actually picked them to win the Stanley Cup. I just thought I'd go with somebody who, when I say not the obvious, they're kind of my Washington Capitals choice. I pick the Capitals every season, except when they finally won. And then same in Winnipeg's case, they've come close so often. Wonderful, wonderful fan base that is out there. But, you know, just find about what went on Sunday. I imagine that's going to be a hot ticket, the visit in March when the Jets come to Toronto. It's a hot ticket regardless. All the Canadian-based teams seem to have a lot of fans that want to see them, like when Vancouver comes to town, for example. But this one is going to have a whole lot more bite given what happened, and even at the end about the extolling the crowd and skating off like champions. So I don't know if we're quite done yet as far as the bite or the intensity goes. We'll also check in about the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tough one for Montreal fans out there last night. I know Toronto Maple Leaf fans really don't care about that. They got to go to the Stanley Cup final last year. But you're up. First of all, David Savard, nice job by the Tampa Bay Lightning, presenting him with his Stanley Cup ring. Real classy ring. And it's not even a ring anymore. There's more. It seems like a whole video presentation and what went on about it. And then he stepped on the ice and he stepped into his 2021 reality against the Lightning. Montreal up 2-1 late in the game, and then two late goals by the Tampa Bay Lightning. So the Montreal Canadiens don't even get the overtime loss point or the shootout loss point. You're just trying to get some small victories along the way, some baby steps, some positive games. You're not going to make the playoffs, and last night they failed in that, unfortunately. So we'll talk to Kelly, of course, about the Calgary Flames. I know they lost last night, but one of the real nice stories around the National Hockey League. It's the Jeff Merrick Show. Gord Stellick filling in as Jeff and Elliot Friedman on their way to West Palm Beach on this snowy day in the greater Toronto area. They got to love the weather. They'll be busy there covering the NHL Board of Governors meetings. The Jeff Merrick Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to Jeff Merrick Show. Jeff and his buddy in crime, Elliot Friedman, off to West Palm Beach for the NHL Board of Governors meetings. Gord Stellick taking over the next 3 days. Hockey talk from noon to 2 p.m. Chatting about the Toronto Maple Leafs and all that's going on around the National Hockey League on the Sportsnet Radio Network. And we decided that Elliot's affiliation with, and Jeff's, with Hockey Night in Canada, we would upgrade it by bringing in the kingpin. Yes, the one and only Kelly Rudy, of course, part of the Calgary Flames coverage as well, but a staple on Hockey Night in Canada for so many years, joining us this afternoon. How are you, Kelly?
I am doing really, really well, Gord, and there's no way you can top being welcomed onto the show with that kind of intro, plus Fleetwood Mac. I mean, what a great song that was, and brings back great memories, my friend.
Well, great memories, and just a lot of people out there maybe not aware, but in Limbo, I had a pleasure of hosting Hockey Night in Canada Radio for about 2 years, and you were the co-host twice a week and did it from Calgary, and we always had a blast and always appreciated on the air and your off-air friendship. And, you know, you're the staple now, Kelly. Every time you come to school, there's new people in your classroom, like Glenn Healy, PJ Stock, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And now you got Kevin Bieksa, who looks like the guy that sits in the back of the bus and waves, you know, on the highway. Anthony Stewart, Jen Botterill looks like she never gets a detention. You know, Colby Armstrong was there before. So how do you handle this? How do you handle this revolving cast?
Oh, my gosh. That's so right. That's a difficult question, Gord, because I think I was just recently going through it. I think this is my 23rd year full-time on Hockey Night. As you know, Gord, I was doing it 4 years previous to that while I was still a player, with whether our team didn't make the playoffs or we lost in the first round. So it's a long run, and it's been, you know, I hesitate because you mentioned Glenn and PJ and some others that, you know, those are really dear friends, and so I miss them a lot. But having said that, I personally don't know if our show has looked better in a long time. There's just a really great feel about the show we have right now, and the dynamics are a little bit different than we've had in the past, which is a really, really good thing. I'm just so jacked about it. Every single Saturday I get there, and so, Gord, it's been an amazing run. That's all I can say.
Well, you can never miss PJ because out of the blue becomes a ridiculous text or picture or something from him. So he's never far from us, right?
No, that's right. PJ and I talk regularly, as well as Glenn and many others.
You were somewhat of a pioneer as far as an advocate about mental health issues, not just in hockey, but in general. You're very candid about a lot of things. It was interesting to hear Jeff Molson actually bring that up for the Montreal Canadiens, where it used to be the expectation, Kelly. The pressure's there. You're not allowed to lose. We're going to put so much pressure on you, and this is what Montreal was about. But that kind of awareness by someone overseeing an organization that, look, it's not just on the ice. It's these kind of things that we used to pay 0% attention to that are important.
Oh, my gosh, Gord. Thanks for bringing that up. That warmed my heart. Not only you bring it up, but when Jeff Molson said that they're going to focus on that, because I think everybody's now realizing that is that's something that we all go through. So the Canadian Mental Health Association will tell us that 1 in 5 Canadians has a mental health issue. And I, with all due respect to the association, and I work closely with them, I think that number is wrong. I think that it's 1 in 5 that they have a mental health illness, and their life is probably unmanageable. I think the number's closer to 4 in 5 or 5 in 5, because we all have things. Gord, I'll be really honest with you. I have been honest in my posts. I think I'm going to post something on social media today. Saturday night's got the best of me. There's no question about it. I've been seeing somebody for a while now, well over a year, to manage my thoughts, and my thoughts at times can become irrational, and it's basically about pressure, right? So, it's a fantastic conversation that we're having. Can you imagine, Gord, I'm a 60-year-old man. I think you're just a little bit behind me, but two grown men like this on national radio, we're having a conversation about how we're doing and mental health and moving forward. This would not have happened 5 years ago, wouldn't happen 7 years ago. I'm so excited, Gord, about this conversation, because what's it going to be like in 5 years or 10 years? Well, what is this conversation going to feel like, and how will it affect people that up until this point in their life, they haven't felt comfortable enough to sharing with somebody?
Well, I'll tell you, because it was, you know, I've had kind of a journey that way too. And the first step to me, mm-hmm. is it used to be snap out of it, okay? And then,
oh, totally.
And then all of a sudden, so I'm saying, if there's listeners out there kind of saying and really referring, because you've been on top of this about, and appreciate you sharing about what's going on now. But the first step is what? Phone somebody, get some help. Like, otherwise, don't let it languish. Because, you know, I'm just saying I'm proud of that path I took because it wasn't one I never expected. And that was the only, that was the biggest part to get me back on track, Kelly.
Oh, boy. So true. Like, it's a path I didn't expect. So when I, you know, later in life, when I wrote my book, I think that was 2018, it finally occurred to me when I had my my big slump when I was still playing in the National Hockey League in 92, 93, that was all related to mental health. At the time when I was going through it, I had no idea. And I, you know, luckily for me, my coach, Barry Melrose, understood I was going through something and I needed help. So he put me in contact with Tony Robbins, and luckily for me, I mean, how fortunate, right? So I was able to work one-on-one with Tony. But it wasn't until many years later, especially after our daughter Caitlin has gone public, and she's such a great advocate and does amazing work in the field of mental health, then it finally occurred to me, looking back, oh my gosh, I was related completely to mental health. And then I went many years, I'd say, without having to deal with that. You know, we all have a little bit of anxiety, and we all have a little bit of stress, and we all have our things, and on occasion we have our irrational thoughts. And I was to learn from Caitlin about the loop, which I'm sure, Gord, you fully understand now. But unbeknownst to me, in the summer of 2019, trouble was lurking. I had no idea. And then I got into this place that wasn't very fun. Well, it was very unkind. It was really hard to manage. And so I finally told my wife, I told my kids what I was going through. I went to get the help I needed. But Gord, I'll say this to all the listeners, don't wait as long as I did. I waited almost a year to get the help I needed. And that was way too painful, way too hard to do alone. And I strongly urge somebody that's listening, maybe if it's only even one person, please talk to somebody. It's going to make a difference in your life.
Kelly Rudy from Hockey Night in Canada, but also, like we said, mental health advocate, and we appreciate you sharing that, and certainly we echo that encouragement, anybody listening, about doing that. Of course, joining Gord Stellick on the Jeff Merrick Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. One thing when we work together regularly, you had so many great Al Arbor stories, and how can you not, the success, four Stanley Cups with the New York Islanders. So let's fast forward a couple of decades, and we're just talking about the evolution of the game, and the guy that people depict the antithesis of that, Daryl Sutter, once again having success after he went and won two Stanley Cups. So the old-time guy, the old school that isn't deemed as effective nowadays, once again is. What is it about Daryl Sutter, not just technically as far as the coach goes and style he plays, but obviously to things you're talking about in a different way he seems to understand about handling individuals?
You know, Daryl does. I have to tell you, Gord, that my experience, I had Daryl for a year. My experience wasn't the best. Not to suggest he's not a good coach, because he is. And the evidence is, the numbers will tell you he's a great coach, right? And so he finds a way. The one thing I found with Daryl that was a strong suit of his, he gets your attention early. And so the Flames, I think they've scored the first goal of the game 18 times this year. That's not a surprise to me, because he makes sure you start on time. I remember we were playing a game in San Jose, and I had given up an early goal, and it wasn't necessarily a bad goal, but that really bothered Daryl. So there's at the first DD timeout, I come over to the bench to get a drink of water, and he ripped into me about not being ready on time and not having focus early and all. And, you know, I didn't see it that way, but I understood the message, and that it was all about, let's make sure that we're prepared. And to a certain degree, I 100% agree, because one thing that always bothered me as a player is when I felt my teammates were sort of easing into a game. And it still bothers me today as a broadcaster when I see really good teams and they're badly outshot, say, in the first 7 minutes of game. And I think, well, that's simple. They're just not prepared, right? They're prepared. They want the game to start easy, and that's just not how professional athletics works.
So, you know, from the when I say not one extreme, but just to a different slant about explain a Jack Campbell to Toronto Maple Leaf fans out there, like this genie in the bottle that was coming, could never establish himself in the NHL, comes over as, okay, a good 1B or number two goaltender. At what point do you say that, okay, no, that ship has sailed, that this isn't a blip? What is a Jack Campbell 2021 in Kelly Rudy's estimation?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, he's legit. He is. He's going to be a star for the Leafs for many years. And I was really concerned, Gord, and it kind of goes back to whether you want to relate it to mental health. But when he was so hard on himself in the pressers after the games, in which he had given up a goal or two that he didn't like, and I thought, that is a hard way to live, my friend. And the National Hockey League, as you know, Gord, as a former general manager, it's hard enough, right? Like, you know, the game teaches you a million lessons and keeps you really humble. And it can be very unkind at times. And when you put your head on the pillow at night after a game, sometimes there's no sleep coming whatsoever because the what you've gone through, and it's a real challenge. And when Jack was being so hard on himself, I remember going on air a couple times and saying, this has got to stop. He's got to be kinder to himself because he's a great goalie, but you don't need to take yourself into a ditch. And so I don't know if he heard that or if people around him just mentioned that to him, but he is a completely different guy. I love to see how often he smiles. I love his pressers now, and he's a relaxed guy. Just everything about what he's doing, he's on the right track, and he's going to have at least five great years with the Leafs.
I remember you saying that. I'm glad you did, because he was taking blame for everything. Our stock portfolios.
Right?
Yeah, he was just... So it's refreshing to see that positive personality being positively challenged. I wonder another one was last night we saw the Trevor Zegras, Sonny Milano show. Okay, so you've got that goal. So at first I thought, should they do it against Buffalo? Come on, Buffalo's had enough go on. But then you see those Sabre fans. Like, that's, Kelly, to be at a Buffalo game on a Tuesday in December, you're a diehard fan. I mean, because the building's, like, pretty empty. So you could see their jaws dropping. So at least they loved it. You as a goaltender, okay? Now, I know what old school is, but again, 2021.
Sure.
Do you say later, okay, great play, or do you say to your guys, gentlemen, next time we play them, this shenanigans, that's fine. Pick one of the other 30 teams to do it again. I'm going to be pissed off it's happened. Let's send a message.
No, I'm of the mindset that is so cool, right, Gord? Now, having said that, I wasn't the goalie of record. In which, when Zegras did the Michigan and then threw it out front to Milano. But for me, I am just amazed by the talent level of these young kids. And I'm really cool with it. It's well within the rules. And by the way, Gord, I have a tiny little story about Zegras. So I had never seen him live until the very first game of this season. Rick Ball and I were in Anaheim, and Winnipeg was visiting the Ducks. And so in warm-up, you know, as you know, you're casually scanning the entire ice and watching for things, and all these things are going through your mind. And I couldn't, once I first saw Zegras, I couldn't take my eyes off him in warm-up. What he was doing with the puck, I had never seen. His stick handling skills were something that I had never witnessed before in my life, just in warm-up. And to your point, though, Gord, if that was maybe 10 or 12 years ago, I would have thought, well, focus on the team game and don't do that. But it's entirely different now. Warm-up now is a skills contest, or it's a skill appreciation. It's less about line rushers and doing these things. The players, if you go to a warm-up and you truly watch, it's all about individual skills and making sure they're ready for puck drop. And so when I see Zegras now, I'm just amazed. My jaw dropped like everybody else last night.
Now, before we let you go, and by the way, I still, when you talk about old guys about that, I still think one of our most fun times was out with PJ at that key restaurant, whatever, when you pretended you were
PR. Oh, my gosh, right?
Yeah. You were PJ's PR agent. Nobody could talk to him directly. Anyway, whatever. It was so the balance of dealing with mental health concerns and also having a good time in life and all that. So what have you decided about Saturdays and that? Because, I mean, you have a schedule that is ridiculous travel-wise. How do you deal with that in the short term?
All right. So, the person that I'm seeing has helped me a lot with I hope this doesn't sound arrogant or out of line with anything, but the person – I was putting so much pressure on myself, Gord, to be perfect every night, which is unrealistic and it's foolish and it's dumb and all these things. And so the person that has been helping me said this to me, and I hope this doesn't come across wrong, but they said to me, you deserve this success. And it really put it in context that I've worked hard, right, Gord? You have, PJ has, Jen Botterill's worked hard, Kevin, Anthony, everybody, we've all worked hard, and we should enjoy it instead of grinding ourselves and thinking we need to be better or different or just that loop in my head. And so now, like, I have such a great time traveling to Toronto. I go on the plane. I have kind of like a rule for myself. I don't do work. I watch Netflix or I do something that's kind of mindless and just take my thoughts away. And so I walk to the studio now, Gord, and I am free and I love work. And it's the best I've been in like 3 years.
So, you know, today you are perfect by acknowledging we're all imperfect, right?
Yeah, oh, totally, right? And my wife, I've been triggered now, which I've never been before until the last 9 weeks. Certain situations or conversations can trigger me, and I get irrational thoughts. And the first person I contact is my wife. So 3 times I've been at home and 3 times I've been on the road, and I immediately, like, I mean immediately, let Donna know and or I call her, and she reminds me about the irrational thoughts that I'm having. And I learned about the irrational thoughts in the loop from Caitlin, right, so many years ago. But until you actually live it and go through it, it's something that you can kind of envision or picture, but it's a entirely different thing when you're going through it. And the thoughts, and I kind of, one time, I think I had a panic attack, so I've kind of experienced that now. I hope I don't go through it again, but rationally, I'm saying to myself, yeah, you probably will, Kelly, and these thoughts are going to be with me for a while, but I'm, you know, with the help I've received and with my family help, I know I can get through it. I know I can get through a tough, usually my tough moments are about 2 hours, but I had one experience where I had a tough day. I know I can get through it.
Well, I'll tell you, it's, two things I had. One was, I know we've got a couple minutes, was one is, yep, about, it's not how you're treated. It's how you allow yourself to be treated, which gets people thinking sometimes. And the other one, yep, is about, we all deserve to be cherished. And I love that word. So we should try to gravitate,
yep,
to people you cherish and cherish you. Those two things we have a conscious decision that we can help make, you know, Kelly.
Oh, 100%, Gord. I love how we should all be cherished. And similar to what the person I'm seeing said, you deserve this, Kelly. Like, you know, I don't know why. I guess there's that complex that, and I know a lot of people go through it, that you're kind of ashamed of your success and you don't deserve it for some reason. Your brain tells you that. And that's wrong. That's just totally wrong.
Kelly, real pleasure catching up. Thanks for
thanks for up
and on this afternoon. That was great.
Yeah, my pleasure. Normally, you and I chat about more cheery things, but life doesn't always present you with that, does it, my friend?
Well, we never chatted about something more important, so there we go. That makes up for the
totally.
Night at P being PJ Stock's alleged bodyguards, okay?
All right, buddy.
All the best
take
to you and Donna
and
family. Okay, thanks, Kelly.
Okay, take care, my friend. Yeah.
Kelly Rudy and Hockey Night in Canada. And talking about a lot of things important. Some Calgary Flames stuff, Toronto Maple Leaf, Jack Campbell talk as well. So certainly something that we enjoy doing. Coming up, we're going to touch base on the next destination for the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Brian Engelmann will join us. We'll chat about them. And as well, Winnipeg. We know the Toronto point of view about the, or most of the Toronto point of view about the six-game suspension to Jason Spezza. We'll get to Tim Campbell to talk a little bit about what's going on in Winnipeg as far as their look at things. That's all coming up. Cord Stellick in on the Jeff Merrick Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We'll